Okay, so you are on page Yud-Zayin of the Feast of the Tumah Yibedi. We're learning a piece from the Nesiva Shalom on Hanukkah. And really, he's been talking about both Hanukkah and Purim together. He began with the idea of Shalom V'Dorshim V'Hilchos Sachag, which is simply understood that you have to study and ask questions and examine the halachos of a yantif before yantif. But he gave it the Hasidish twist that this Sholem Miloshim Sheela of requesting the halichos sachag, seeking out the halichos sachag, the pathway to the yantif, what you need to go into the yantif for, what you need to come out of the yantif with. And in terms of Hanukkah and Purim specifically, he spoke about how these two Yom Tovim are based, were experiences that were based completely on Emunah and Bitachon, where in the case of Mordechai in Purim and the case of the Chashmonaim and Hanukkah, we deal with the respective threats, the physical threat on Purim and the spiritual threat on Hanukkah, that complete Bitachon and the ultimate vindication and victory of Klal Yisrael, and never doubted for a moment that they would accomplish what needed to be accomplished and that Am Yisrael would prevail. So we are at the end of page Yud-Zayin, the last paragraph on page Yud-Zayin, second column. V'zeh ha'yisod shel Yehudi. This is the foundation of a Jew. A Yehudi yesh Torah Shlema. A Yid has Torah. Torah Shlema, the whole Torah. V'yesh Tayag Mitzvos. And we have our 613 Mitzvos. Ach ha'yisod shelo, but his foundation, on which everything else rests, hu emunah u'bitachon. K'di'isa b'pri aretz, as it says in Sefer Pri Aretz, Shekol ha'nisyonos shel Yehudi, himem be'emunah. All the challenges that a Yid faces has to do with Amunah. Nesha Zay Yisob, because that's the foundation of his essence. V'chol ha-ma'avak in Klipos Yavan, who Binyan said, the entire struggle with Klipos Yavan. Klipa is a Kabbalistic term that's used a lot in Sefer Chassidus. It refers to the fact that the Kochos HaTumma, this is Kabbalah that you do the Kochos HaTumma, which is the Klipa, the shell, tried to cling onto us and suffocate us, if you will. But you don't have to get into that at all. Just the struggle with Yavan, we could just translate the struggle with Yavan, was regarding this matter of Emunah B'tachon. Ha'ivanim ratzu l'natik es Yisrael me'ashorish. What the Ivanim wanted to do was to detach Klais from their root. Kivish Gazru, as they decreed, Kisru al Keren Ashor, Shein Lechem Chelik B'lukei Yisrael. Did we talk about this yet? This decree to inscribe or to write on the horn of an ox, that you have no chelik b'elokei Yisrael. I don't remember whether you spoke about this in the shir yet or not, but this was when the Gemara wants to describe, when the Medrash, I should say, wants to describe what Yavan is. The Medrash refers to Yavan as choshech, right? In the first, the four Golios, the four, you know, it was translated as exiles, but exile does not really work. But the four powers that would control Klal Yisrael, from the you know, dealing with the pertains to the Churban and the various time periods from the Churban of the first base. But there's four Golios, four powers. There's Bavel, Paras Madai, which is two. No, Bavel is one, Paras Madai is two, Yavan is three, and Edom, which is the current Golios, is four. Right? So so these four Golios are hinted to in various places in Tanakh. But one of them is in the beginning of Briyas Olam, where it says, "Va'aretz peisa tov v'vo v'choshech apnei tahom v'rach alokim rach hefes apnei hamayim." So the world was tov v'vo. I'm not going to try to translate it, but tov v'vo. It matters says tov is referring to, or is a hint to, Bavel. Vohu is a hint to Paras Madai. Yavan choshech is a hint to Yavan, and at home is an allusion to Edo, and Baruch Elokim Rachavas up in mind, the Spirit of Hashem hovers above the water. That's Melech HaMashiach. So, and the Gemara brings Suka to back up the three other than Yavan. With Yavan, I don't think it's really based on the pasuk. What the Medrash says is Choshech is Yavan Shechshichu Enim Shayisov Bigzerisayim, because it darkened the eyes of Klal Yisrael with their decrees. And the one decree that the Medrash singles out is this one of Kisvul Chamakernasha, right on the horn of an ox, Shenachem Chelub El Kei Yisrael. They have no Chelub in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no special relationship with Hashem. That's what it was all about, because that was the theme, the underlying theme of everything that Yavan tried to do, is to raise Klal Yisrael's uniqueness. They decreed, yeah, it was a decree. Yeah, why a horn of an ox? The horn of an ox, there are different explanations given for this. For me, the simplest explanation is that a horn of an ox is the ancient version of the top of your car.
Oh.
You know, you have to, wherever you went, you have to be have this sign that stood up, you know, the horn of an ox, it sticks up, that the Jews are not special. It's like, you know, like the Nazis in Maximum made you wear yellow stars. I mean, just something prominent that was degrading to the Jew, right? Or at least degrading to the concept of the uniqueness of a Jew. Eilechem chilav elkei Yisrael. You never heard this? This is what the Medrash says. Actually, I believe the Medrash goes on to say, so they shechted all of their oxen. So then they said, you have to write it on your doorpost. Because wherever you're going out the door, you should see it. And they ripped out all the doorposts and homes. This is what they're struggling over, is maintaining the sense of specialness, that we have a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they said, no, there's no such thing. Well, the horn is a baby bottle, so I don't know. And then there's others that some of the first members want to say that it's a reminder to clients of the Chet Egel that you say that you're different. You know, Egel was a calf, it was on the horn of an ox, which is an adult calf, a reminder that you say you're special, you have a special tradition, you guys worship the idols just like us. So there's a lot of discussion about the horn of the ox, but the main point is, for us, is that they wanted to erase our uniqueness. And, yeah. Yes, but you know what? Once you understand what their objective was, then you see how they began to attack the particular mitzvos that expresses the idea that yesh lanu chelav b'klei Yisrael, that we have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mila and Shabbos are both the idea of an oath and a bris, and Kiddush Chodesh, but we don't have time to talk about it right now, but Kiddush Chodesh is very much a demonstration of the special relationship between Klai Yisrael and Hashem, who wants to control time together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did they know? That's a good question. Did the Hellenists help them and give them an in on what is it that gives Klai Yisrael their sense of uniqueness? Or did they figure it out? However they dealt with it, they got their information. And so the three mitzvahs, the Limud HaTorah, right? That's what we say in Al Nisim. Al Nisim we say, Lashkicham Torah Secha, Olavir Mechuk Ritzenecha, to make us forget Torah and to get us to stop keeping Hashem's mitzvahs. And specifically those mitzvahs that you mentioned. So it was the uniqueness. You know, it's interesting to note that I've spoken in a variety of places. I don't remember what we spoke about here this year. So stop me if you mentioned this already. That it's ironic, except that it's not. That the purity of Yavan, which the world looks at as a tremendously enlightening period. We didn't talk about it. We call it Choshech. We call it Choshech because they wanted to erase distinctions. They wanted to make everything look the same. That's what darkness is. We can't tell what's what. So this was what they attempted to do. She'en lechem chel b'kei Yisrael. Ulu umazeh, three lines from the bottom. But on the other hand, Kasher Kadosh Baruch Hu is Shia at Yisrael. When Hashem saved us, ha'yisai Yeshua b'inyin zeh atzma, the Yeshua, the salvation was in this matter itself. Lahara is to show Shafil Kashisrael Nimtsaim the Matav Shafal B'Yoser, even when Klai Yisrael is on a very low level, B'chinas L'Matame Asara, he's alluding to the fact there's an idea that the preferable height to light a menorah is less than 10 tefachim high, less than 40 inches, within 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim of the ground. 3 tefachim is about 10 or about 11 inches, and 10 tefachim is, you know, depending on what measurement you use, under 40 inches. So he says, because Klai Yisrael was on a low level, as symbolized by below 10 tefachim, Keshurim Heim Lashem Yisbarach Lo Kol Tanai, they are nevertheless connected to Hashem unconditionally. Lo B'nei Shem Ruyi L'Kach, not because they're necessarily deserving of it, according to their current level, but because they believe, Kadosh Baruch Hu lo yitsham, Hashem will not abandon them, lo yazvam, will not leave them, ukarachem av abanim yirachamam, that Hashem will have mercy on them, like a father has compassion on his son, on his child, which of course is unconditional. But kenegem asherotze yivanim lahachdir she'ilam chilbel k'Yisrael, and therefore in contrast to what the yivanim wanted to do, which was lahachdir, to embed in us this feeling that we have no chilek, no relationship with Hashem. This galut was revealed shafilu matzav shafel b'yotzer, that even when I'm in its very low state, a time of assimilation, a time of a loss of identity, Yesh Yisrael chilek b'Hashem Yisbarach, we still have a portion, literally translated, a portion in Hashem, a relationship with Hashem, special relationship. So that's you know the point that he's bringing us back to is that that this is what the struggle was over. Do we or don't we? Is there such a thing as an Am HaNivchar, as a chosen nation who are unique, who get the status of Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, as it says in the Torah, your children to Hashem? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says it's a worthwhile mission to recall right now. The Chaviv Adam, man is beloved, Shenivra B'Tzelem, that he's created in the image of Hashem. And Achiv Yisera, there's an additional love that he was informed that he's created in the image of Hashem. But then the Mishnah goes on to say, Chaviv in Yisrael, beloved is Yisrael, Shenikru Banim Lamakom, that we are called, we are designated children of Hashem, and Achiv Yisera, and there's an additional love that Hashem informed us that this is the way he views us, Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. And the Nesi Hashem is saying what that means is that the love and the relationship is unconditional. Now, in the next line the first line of the next paragraph is assuming that we know, so we need to know that when the Gemara described the story of Hanukkah, the Gemara asks, what happened at Hanukkah? The Gemara tells the story of the oil, that all the oils were contaminated by and tainted by the Yevanim, and they found one bottle of oil, and that lasted for 8 days, and there was only for one day. So then the Gemara goes on to say, L'shana ha'acheres. The next year, the Chachmei Hador instituted a yentif to celebrate what happened. So, Ulashan Acheret Kavum V'asim Yom Tov. The next year, they established it and made these 8 days to be yentif days. The East of the Svarim HaGoshim, and the Holy Svarim writes, and they ask, this is a very famous question, Ma Tam Lo Kavum Yad Yom Tov? Why didn't they establish yentif right away? Right, the days happened, let's have a yentif. They didn't know if the light will renew itself every year at this time. Maybe this is only a temporary enlightenment, if you will. But the next year, at this time, when this time of the year came back, they, Chazal, who had the sensitivities, had well-honed senses to be able to know, to feel the following, they feel Shis Ora Shuv Ha'ara Shahai Bizman Anes. They could feel a reawakening of the light that was there at the time of the Nes. The Yadu, they knew Shia Ara Inishchis. That told them that this light was an eternal light, that it would be there every year at this time of the year. But us, yeah, of course. Yeah, spiritual light. That there's a spiritual energy, if you will, a special spiritual energy coming back this time of the year. Vaz kavu vasu yantiv, and then they establish it to be yantiv. And this really, if you remember, we learned from Dessler, it really it brings us back to where Dessler said that that this the tshuva, whatever took place at Hanukkah, was nitzchi, was eternal, because it touched the inner neshama of Klai Yisrael, and therefore lasts for all time. But maybe even we ourselves were not aware of it until Chazal said, okay, well, it came Hanukkah, came the time of the year, and they felt something happening. Something is here for us to tap into, and we need the Yat of Hanukkah to help us to do that.
I think it's about that every time, like Pesach time is the same energy.
Right. So exactly. Yes, we did learn that we're told that it's kind of like a, the mushroom that is used as a train set, which goes around circles and stops along the way. that we travel through time and come back, go round and round, come back to the exact same time. So Pesach has an energy, Sukkot has an energy. The Chiddush over here was the Chanukah has an energy as well. And that's what they needed to discover. Yeah.
In terms of, they did do the menorah.
Right.
But wasn't it still like a bad time?
It was a very bad time. You know, anyone who says that Chanukah is about, you know, to reestablish, when we reestablish our political independence, you know, Chanukah was about by reestablishing ourselves as a nationality, as an independent nation, is mistaken because at the time of Chanukah, they really had only freed up and liberated just the base of Megiddo and a small area around it. And the wars would continue for years after that till they fully established control over the area that they would ultimately and keep control of for the next 200 years. So it was not about political independence as much as it was about being, reclaiming the base of Mikdash and rededicating it to Avodas Hashem and beginning the process of reconnecting Klal Yisrael to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
And they got rid of the decrees at that time?
It seems, I don't know to what degree the decrees were still able to be enforced. There was a war going on. You know, so I would imagine maybe in the places that that the Hellenists or the Greeks had control over, maybe those decrees are still in effect. I don't know. Or maybe they weren't able to enforce it because they're too busy fighting the war. I don't know.
But also,
thanks to
the being fought.
That would follow the period of Hanukkah. I don't think that was right then. Mm-hmm. But when I say that after Hanukkah things went into decline, under the Hashmonai family, it does not go well in the future generations. But right then, I think it was a very inspired moment. Okay. The Chemet Sin of Beneath Purim. You see where I am? Is that where I'm up to, I think? Chemet Sin of Beneath Purim. So we find as well by the Neis of Purim, Shekovah Ziyad of Hashan Hashaniya. That was only the next year they made a Yatid. The Gam Azestavka, because then as well they were not sure. Is this only a temporary moment of inspiration, or is this something that will renew itself each year? The next year, then it became clear that it was eternal. And it is renewed every single year. And just like back then at the first Hanukkah, the Hamshacha Sa'ara, that means the pulling down of the light, the bringing down of the light, was through the inspired activities of the Kohanim, the Chashanim, that expressed the Midah B'tachon. Kach so too, B'chol Shana V'Shana, Tzorch Yudi L'or Midah Zu. So too, if we want to be able to fully connect to Chanukah, we have to reawaken within ourselves this Midah of B'tachon, Kedil Hamshech Es'or Shanez Chanukah, in order to bring upon ourselves the light of the Nes Chanukah, Shasalam and Kodesh Baruch Hu Yibayamim Azman Azeh, that happened at that time. Ze Itzumam Shal HaChagim Chanukah Uvapurim. These are the essences. I don't often see the word essence in plural, but I guess if it is in plural, if there's a plural to it, then it would be essences, right? These are the essences of Chanukah Purim, or the essence of Chanukah and Purim, respectively. Hashvash Asamuna, the implanting of Amun and B'tachon under the most difficult circumstances, as it was at that time, that was, as we said, the Nisim took place at a very low time spiritually for the Jewish people. So if you had just applied Seichel, meaning it's intellectual analysis, and Teva, examine things from a natural perspective, what should unfold? Well, if Yizchi is same, and based on the merits that you would expected would be needed to bring about an ace, well, Hayisav Sharsi Yeshua, there would have been no way you'd have expected salvation. If we would have used the tools that are available to us to say, this is the time when Hashem will do an ace. Look at the numbers, look at the people, look at their merits, look at where they're at. This is not a time when Hashem will do an ace. impossible, we would say. And nevertheless, the Bekoch HaMunah V'Btachon is Kayim B'hem, but with the Munah V'Btachon, they were Zocha to experience what the Pasuk says, Shebeshefleinu Zachalonu, that in Shefleinu, in our lowest state, Hashem still remembers us. And you have to understand, this is very much a theme of Nesiv Shalom, is that Hashem never, ever abandons us, and never abandons us as a people, and never abandons us individually either, no matter how far we as a people or someone as an individual has drifted away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's always a lifeline through which you can come back.
I mentioned
Friday night in my house, and that I had mentioned Medrash in Shul, not Special Shabbos, but the week before, which is a very, very powerful Medrash. And the Medrash goes through, you know, and this is a little bit of Chazara, but one of the problems that we have, it's not really a problem, but one of the reasons why I don't get as much out of the stories that we learn about from our history is because we know the end of the story already. And the challenge that we have, and what the Medrash challenges us to do, is to look at the story as it's unfolding instead of after already unfolding. So the Medrash takes us through the history of Klal Yisrael and shows how the whole thing, time after time, was impossible. Yet it happened anyway, right? Medrash starts with Avram and Sarah, right? So you're there and you know Avram and Sarah. You've met Avram and Sarah. Right, you know, he's 100, she's 90, and you know, they're waiting for a child, right? It's actually, you say, well, it's absurd, it's not happening, right? It's not happening. Just give up right now, there's nothing to talk about. And then a baby is born, right? And the Medrash goes on to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you're there when baby Moshe is being put into that basket, into the water, to imagine, will he survive, will he not survive? Will he somehow be found? Will he not be found? To follow that through and say, and will he become the leader of Klal Yisrael who's going to take them out of Mitzrayim? Right? That's something we'd have ever imagined, right? And that's what happens. So Medrash goes through step by step this of Klal Yisrael, and then goes through these four Goliaths. And we have to feel this way, that as he's going through each one of them, starting with the horrific destruction that happened under the Babylonians, when they destroyed the first place of Mikdash. To imagine that Klal Yisrael would survive and as a people, as identifiable people, is that impossible? That's the end of it. This story is over. It's a nice story, but it's over. And that's what it was with each of the Goliaths. So when you go to Paras Money and you experience the story of Purim as it's unfolding, so there is, as Hasid Shalom pointed out, it was an irrevocable decree to wipe out the Jewish people. That's just so. That's what happens when kings issue decrees that can't be revoked. It happens, and this is the end of the Jewish people. So Hanukkah, spiritually, this should have been the point of assimilation. Assimilation was rampant. Hellenistic belief had overtaken the world. It wasn't just Christ, it had overtaken the whole world. So you take one of those Google Map experiences and you pull back. And you look at the globe, and the globe has, let's say red for the Hellenized world and blue for the Jewish world. And you would see a tiny little point of blue in a vast sea of red. Clearly that point of blue is going to be overwhelmed. It's obvious what's going to happen. It's obvious to anybody. The same thing with Rome. So that's what, and the Medrash concludes. The same thing about Mashiach and the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, rebuilding of Malchus HaSeis. Yeah, it looks impossible. But when you look at the history of Klal Yisrael, then the impossible becomes possible. And not only the impossible becomes possible, the whole history of Klal Yisrael has been defined by the impossible becoming possible. So that's what he's telling us over here, is that you have to have that emunah betachon, that we have to draw from the story of Hanukkah and the inspiration of the Chashmonaim, that, yeah, we find ourselves right now in a very dark time, and the world really seems to be closing in on us. But so what? We know what the end of the story is going to be. We have full confidence in the end of the story. All right. Bottom of the first column on page 8, says, last paragraph. But my high tama, and for this reason, yeesh b'mitzvah sner Chanukah, mahajin, mahajman, and mahajman. You see, you have to understand, there is no other mitzvah we have that has what we have in Ner Chanukah, the idea of mahajman, mahajman, and mahajman. That means to say that built into the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, we have a three-tiered system. There's regular, deluxe, and super deluxe in how you do the mitzvah. Okay? There's this thing with other mitzvahs. There is the idea of hiddur mitzvah, beautifying every mitzvah. It's a general concept that's learned from Asher Shiva. We don't have to get into it now. That it's a meaningful thing to beautify a mitzvah. To have beautiful tefillin, to have beautiful tzitzis, to have beautiful esro goyim, always have to make mitzvah as beautifully possible. But that's a general idea that's not unique to any one mitzvah. It applies to all mitzvahs. But by Chanukah, we have this idea of doing the mitzvah. Basically, the mahaj, mahaj, mahaj. The only other place you have mahaj, mahaj, mahaj is the kosher system in Israel, okay? right. But other than that, Hashem over there, it's we have different ways. It's a basic mitzvah to light one candle per household. Then there's the next level of the mitzvah of lighting one candle for everybody in the house. There's different opinions of how that's supposed to be done. Each person lighting their own, or one person lighting for everybody. And then there's a mitzvah of the mahajim and hajim, super deluxe, to add a candle for every night for everybody. By the way, the amazing thing is, who does the mitzvah, the basic mitzvah? Right. You know anybody who lights one candle night? Maybe, you know, the low light in the concentration camps, you know, they add only they lit whatever they could. But otherwise, we all opt for the most extreme way of doing this mitzvah, right? So, in my high time, it's for this reason, the yeshu mitzvah sner Chanukah, mahajin, and mahajim, and mahajim. The Chanukah has the mahajin. He doesn't even mention the basic, but basically the mahajan and the mahajmaja, the super deluxe. So mitzinu gedorim ke'ilu b'mitzvah acharet. You don't find such categories by other mitzvahs. B'bnei because, so he's giving his explanation of this, many explanations of this issue. B'bnei shebuna be'amuna b'tachon yish madregos la'insof. When it comes to munu b'tachon, there are a limitless, an infinite number of levels. Now there's a munu b'tachon is not an all or nothing thing. Do I have emuna? Do I not have emuna? But there are levels of emuna. There's constant new levels to strive for when it comes to emuna. The shach was that hidurim lo gvul. And therefore, there's always new ways to mahader to take emuna b'tachon to a higher level, to a better place. Emuna is higher than all levels. And lower than all levels, it's because that's where emuna is a spectrum concept. Ukemosh Amar Habesht Hakadosh, like the best, the Baal Shem Tov said, Achakoma Jigosai Besigosai. After all of my levels of spirituality that I've achieved in my life, he said, Binich Anar Ungloib. I'm just like a child, and I believe. In other words, that's Yiddish. I come back to being the child with the simple belief. That I grow in the depth of emunah, and where do I wind up? I wind up being back as a child with the simple emunah and a direct emunah that a child has. So Marana Kodesh Mikubrin Zuchus Yigun Aleinu, Amar Mechazal. The Kubrina Rebbe said, on Chazal tell us, Ezi Derech Yishor Shiyavalo Adam, the Gemara and the Sechta Tamid. Now, what is the Derech Yishor? What is the direct or straight path that a person should choose for himself? It's Yachzik Bemuna Yisera. He should latch on to abundant Emuna. Emuna Yisera. B'chol HaMidos Ein Lo La'adam Lasis Yomid Degarset. So he explained that when it comes to all Midos, whatever Mido you're working on, the rule is don't overreach. You have to know where you're at and grow at a very, very steady, clear pace, and don't act in a way that's beyond really what you're holding by. But he said, when it comes to Muna, Yazik Bamuna Yisera. The Gemara is telling us, latch on to, go for broke, right? Go for the Muna Yisera. Leila Midarge, even higher than one's level. That we should, because apparently the idea being that we have this Amuna within us, We have very powerful emunah within us, and we should try to tap into it. That's why there's levels when it comes to Ner Chanukah, levels of how to do the mitzvah, so that we can strive to do the best. And apparently, as I pointed out, we always do strive to do the best, to symbolize the idea that when it comes to emunah, there are lots of levels, but we should always strive for the best.
Beyond yourself.
That's what he's suggesting. I'm not sure exactly how you would want to apply this, you know, because there are other schools of thought, I will tell you, that say otherwise. But he's saying that, I think, at a minimum, he's saying that we should be aware that we have great reservoirs of emunah within us. I would say historically, maybe one thing we can point out in this regard is that that at every time in history, you had Jews who were on a very, very low level spiritually, and then somehow, at the end, they were ready to make the supreme sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You had it at times in the Beis Hamikdash, you had times in Spain, it happened during the Holocaust. Jews who maybe never kept Shabbos, and in the concentration camps, it started to be most nefesh mitzvot. In the craziest and most difficult circumstances. So should we tell them, well, no, this isn't real for you. This is for the really, you know, religious people. Right? So there's something in them. And don't be afraid that when it shouldn't only be in such dire circumstances that we feel ourselves tempted to go to that higher level and not to underestimate ourselves when it comes to emunah.
Getting ahead of yourself?
Right. Normally, you shouldn't have to get too ahead of yourself, right? Well, that's a good question. It takes a lot of honesty and self-scrutiny and probably having a mentor to help
because
us do that.
You know where you are, and you know where you're not.
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're scared to admit that we can do more than we're doing. And sometimes...
That's a different issue about knowing what you can do, but I'm saying... We all have some sort of ideal or role model, which might be really low for somebody, might be really high for us, but if we don't keep that in mind, then we walk towards that.
We have to have goals to work towards it, but working towards it means working towards it step by step, as opposed to jumping towards it and assuming that we're there already. As opposed to putting on a suit that's way too big for us, or shoes that are way too big for us. Not there yet.
And then eventually
yes, but you take on the next level. You don't take on 10 levels up, you know. So it's a Chazir's thought and it's a Jewish thought. Take on the next level, but don't assume you're the rebel.
Right.
Already, okay? One day, okay, but one step at a time.
And that's different from Muna.
But he seems to suggest in the Muna you can strive for much greater heights, yeah. Yeah. It depends when you need it. Yeah, well, I don't think so. I don't know what he would say, but I would tell you not to, right. I think he's certainly referring to, like, in the story of Hanukkah, where Jews had to rise to a tremendous level of emunah in order to save Klal Yisrael and save themselves spiritually. And, maybe it doesn't mean to what you just described, to quit my job and say Hashem will provide. But maybe it does mean to do exactly that when keeping my job means that I could destroy my spirituality. All right? What happens if keeping my job means I have to work in Shabbos? Or what happens if keeping my job means that I have to live in an environment where there's no support system for my spiritual self and for my children? Then I have to take that. I'm not such a Baal B'Tachon. You can't say that. You have to say, you have to trust Hashem and quit the job and something's going to work out. So I think that might be a more relevant example for something like that. Right, V'yesh l'faresh b'zeh. Okay, we're in the first paragraph in the second column, third line in the second column. on page Yudches. Yesafayish b'zeh masakosva kadmonim. So we can explain based on this with the kadmonim, what early sources tell us, is to say, even though many people don't do this, but I believe Hasidim do, is to say a paragraph of Tehillim that we mentioned earlier at the Ner Chanukah, at the menorah, to say Yosha b'seser, achrad lakas Ner Chanukah, to say the paragraph of Tehillim of Yosha b'seser at the time of Chanukah, of menorah lighting. These are the Svarim HaKdoshim Atam. The Svarim say the reason is, K'ner Chanukah l'mati masara. Okay, so now the next few lines are going to be very Hasidish. I'm not going to pretend to fully to really understand it, but we try to transpose these ideas into language that makes more sense for us. So let's see first how he says it. Kiner Chanukah l'mata masara. Ner Chanukah, as we noted, should be lit lower than 10 tefachim, which is where, which is a place of Makom Shlitas HaChitzonim, a place where the Chitzonim have power. Chitzonim are the outside or darker forces. Leficha, therefore, Omrim, we say, Yosha B'Seser, this Tehillim of Yosha B'Seser, Shushir Shapagayim Kedelim Noach Yitzatza B'Ner Chanukah. It's the sheer of this idea of being protected from harm, of those who get wounded or harmed, to be saved from that, in order to be saved from the achizasam, the latching on of those dark forces through Ner Chanukah. Ma'ashenkin mitzvot achiros or Ner Shabbos she'ena l'matat tzur, opposed to other mitzvot that aren't done on that low level. Eimer chashas, you don't have this concern. Okay, do I understand this? Not really. Yesh lahotzah of Yom, we can add based on what we learned. Shitzuma shalchah Chanukah hu, that the essence of Chanukah is she Yehudi yifarnes it's asab b'betachal chol shana. And this is more easier for us to process. And you know, while Nesivah Shalom has been translated, a lot of it, I don't know about Chanukah, but has been translated into English, something gets lost in translation inevitably. And that's, I'm happy we're doing the Hebrew, even though I'm translating, but I can help us take note of things. She Yehudi yifarnes it's asab b'betachal chol shana. It's a beautiful term, yifarnes. Yifarnes is the word parnasa, all right? The Chanukah is an opportunity for a Jew to be mefarnes, to nourish himself in the matter of bitachon for the whole year. Right, we spoke about at the beginning of this piece, we have to know what to come out of Chanukah with. Right, we're in Chanukah ready, what do you want to walk away with? You want to walk away with a reservoir, all with our gas tank of a moon of bitachon all filled, and so that you keep on, so we can keep on running throughout the entire year. And we say it at the time of Hadlakas Neros, ki eis zu v'sigelas ma'od b'kis. This is the time to inspire ourselves. La'orei b'tachon mikocham shal ha'chashmonayim. Inspire ourselves with the b'tachon of the chashmonayim. V'yesh ha'b'tachon murafel alo b'hirus. Sh'avim ha'chasim oso. Because at times when that b'tachon is there in us, potentially, but it's murafel, it's clouded. There's no clarity to it. Sh'avim mechasim also, that cloud, is a cloud cover of our own bitachon. U'segulas ha'or sh'ner es Chanukah, but the Ner Chanukah has that capability, l'ha'ir es ha'amuna, to enlighten, to bring that amuna to light, v'abitachon, to bring that bitachon to light, sh'yemi'iru behirim, so that they should shine brightly and with clarity. And mevur l'ma omri yosha b'seisar, gam ba'alagas Ner Chanukah shal b'shabbos. So he says, we say, Yosha B'Seis, to those who say it, even when they light Chanukah candles, Erev Shabbos. Av ki en achizas achitzon b'Shabbos, even though the idea mentioned earlier, which you don't really understand, of the dark forces looking over there, waiting to grab us, does not apply on Shabbos, apparently, I guess, in case you didn't know that, we'll worry about them on Shabbos. But he says there's something else going on over here that Yosha B'Seis should be said for. It's all about bitachon. Shenemar mizmar zeh, that's implied in this mizmar. Omel Hashem machzim tzedasi. What do you mean by that? Machzim, Hashem is my protector. Im ki ani mitzidi, eini, eineni roi l'kach. Even though I am my own, I'm not really deserving that protection. Becholzus, nevertheless, the pasuk says, Elokai eftach bo. I'm going to place my trust in Hashem. V'kasher elokai b'cha b'tachti az al evosha. The pasuk goes on to say that when I place my trust in Hashem, I will not be shamed. Yeshafayish, we can explain, ki gam chashash achizach yitzod b'ner chanukah, v'mishin sheyodun ki b'koach ha-bitachon, hu ha-koach ha-chazak b'yosis sheyesh l'yudi. And going back to that beginning idea that we didn't fully understand, but this idea of chizach yitzod, worried about the dark forces, call it the Yitzhara, call it the Sitra Achra, call it the Satan, call it whatever you want, that we have a special fear of them on Chanukah, is because those forces know that the koach of bitachon is the strongest and powerful weapon the Jew has. And that helps the Jew withstand even the darkest times and time periods. Since when he has trust in Hashem, Hashem bestows upon him Yeshua and Rachman, the salvation and mercy. Those dark forces, Miskavra B'Yosef, very much tried to overpower us at that time. Lahasi Achizah B'Ner Chanukah to interrupt, to hack into what's happening with Ner Chanukah and to disrupt the ability of the Ner Chanukah to accomplish what it can accomplish. And our job is to say Yosef B'Seisah, to say it, whether we say it or not, but to say I trust in Hashem, and the Ner Chanukah is there to enlighten me and to bring light to the dormant Bitachon and Emuna that lies inside of the heart of every Jew, and to bring it out and to activate it so that we can have it with us for the rest of the year. Okay. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. Yeah, Yosef B'Seisah. Yeah, yes, Yosef B'Seisah. So this is he feels that Yosef B'Seisah very much expresses the idea over and over again of how Hashem will be there for me without any mention of having tzchusim. It's the idea of that Hashem is there for us unconditionally. We continue the same piece from last week. So Beis Hashem will continue next year.
No, I mean
this piece. No. I didn't mean that. I meant next Chanukah. In other words,
we're not gonna finish.
Unless you want to, we can continue. But it's like it's not Chanukah anymore.
I don't know if I would have thought that that's what we get sometimes.
Right.
That's not what
when I feel there.
Like,
yeah.
I'm
going to,
I mean,
okay,
I
so
the
start
game
it.
In my mind.
No,
I don't think it was
the stress.
Right. So, what stress mostly is Torah, Limud Torah, and mitzvos, and what else? Latkes and Sufganiot.
Right.
That there was really the miracle of the oil was really
the miracle of the war.
Like that's one explanation. Yeah, it's look. And there's so much to it. Chanukah exists with so many different layers. The miracle of the Ner Chanukah, which it's light and darkness. I mean, it's clear what it is, and it's not a light that suddenly makes everything perfect. It's a light that exists within the darkness that surrounds it. And this was the gift that Hashem gave us before we went to Golos. I've heard many Sfarim say that we need to be going to a very dark place, and to go into that dark place, the dark Golos, without the flashlight that is Chanukah, that can light up the area that we're in, and to speak to us and to keep us going, to inspire us, we would have been lost a long time ago. So Chanukah is a special, it's a Yantish. I'm not suggesting that we won't have Chanukah when Mashiach comes. I don't know anything about how that all is going to work. But it's the Yantif of Golos. Mm-hmm. It's the Yantif that lights up darkness. Mm-hmm. It's very, very much a Yantif that, and that reminds us of who we were, and therefore who we can be, who we are and who we can be. And I think that's what he's trying to say when he talks about Mu'ud Tachon, to recognize that this is a client, so we are great people with a tremendous relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and sometimes we lose sight of that. And Chanukah is meant to shine a light on that aspect of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yes. Did I mention Rabbi Garfinkel's has a source where that 20,000, there are 20,000 Hellenized Jews who were there to greet the Greeks when they came in to help support them against those who were still full of Torah. So it was not a good time. Was that a good time?
Right.
In many ways, we live in similar times in the sense that there are, unfortunately, Jews are so distant from their roots and so far from what Yiddishkeit is that they're actually fighting against it. And they stand for values that are secularized values, what they call progressive values. It's back to the Choshech of Yavan, and such enlightened times, such advanced times scientifically and so on, and yet it's a very dark time that we live in terms of the values that prevail in society around us. And unfortunately, many Jews have bought into it, and many Jews are getting lost to it. At the same time, we see tremendous nisim that we should take note of in the resurgence of the world of Torah and the Baal Shuvah movement and the growth of yeshivas and shuls. Just take a look at our own community, which is the microcosm of what's going on all around the world. So it's a very mixed bag. On the one hand, assimilation is rampant and intermarriage, we're losing Jews by untold numbers. And on the other hand, the Olam HaTorah is growing and the religious world is growing. And that gives us a lot of reason to be hopeful.
On one hand, we think we're in the times of Mashiach, but certain ways, like not all the stuff that was predicted are we seeing yet, as far as like everyone's supposed to come to recognize Hashem. I think so many people are going, among our own people that are going together and looking at us who are the true Torah keepers and thinking like we're so wrong and we're so backwards.
I don't know if there's an expectation for all of Klal Yisrael to recognize Hashem before Mashiach comes.
Oh, really?
I hope not.
Oh.
I hope that's difficult. I once heard Rabbi a recording of Rabbi Wein saying in the name of Rav Aaron Cutler, my recollection, that the Gemara tells us that Emol Shami Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos, the Klal Yisrael just keep two Shabbosos, and we already kept one, then just one more, then Mashiach would come. Just one Shabbos, right? The question, but we don't see that happening, right? Because there's so many people, okay, notwithstanding the Shabbos project, but most people don't keep Shabbos, right? So he said, the Gemara is not talking about those who don't know anything about Shabbos. They can't be expected to keep Shabbos. It's talking about us, okay? That if we would keep Shabbos the way we're supposed to, those of us who know what Shabbos is, it's a place that much of responsibility in ourselves.
Yeah,
right. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu has to have a realistic plan for us how all this is going to happen. I think that goes back to the possibility of the impossible happening. That is the nature of Klal Yisrael's history. We live in very, very strange times. But I would say that I feel that we live in a time, it's not me saying this, so I can say, there's so many Gedolei Yisrael that Ikud Mashiach, the time period preceding the coming Mashiach, when you see completely different directions. I'm sure this is not his own idea, or it's not the only one who says this, but I seem to recall my father, Zechron Obracha, suggesting that the Gemara says, Ein Ben David Ba, I don't know if it's a Gemara or a Mishnah, maybe it's a Mishnah, Ein Ben David Ba, Ella, that means Ben David, Mashiach, who is Ben David, will not come Ela Bedor She Okulo Chai, Zakei Okulo Chayit. Except the generation that's Kulo, that's completely Zakei, completely pure, or completely liable, completely guilty. So where does that leave us? And it looks like the Chayit side is winning, so maybe just join them, so Mashiach should come. So he suggested that, no, that's not what it means. It means that that we've had so many time periods in history where there's confusion as to who's Zaki and who's Chayim, where people stand on things, that Ben David will come in a time of clarity, with a clear separation between the Zaki and the Chayim. You know, that's, and in that sense, you do see things moving in two completely different directions, right? That and people are being, the whole world is living in an age of polarization. Everything is, there's very little common ground between different sides. Everybody's moving in opposite directions. Everything's becoming more extreme. And there's a zelu mazel, like in the more extreme one side goes, the more extreme the other side goes. So maybe you know, what we're seeing is something that has to happen. And then when people make the switch, they make the switch completely. It's not like, you know, well, you know, kind of, you know, nobody does tshuva to have Shabbos. You know, if they become like tshuva, then they jump into Shabbos. So who knows? It's very hard for us to know. We know what we have to do. Each of us has to do what we're supposed to do. That's our job, to live our lives according to what the Jewish Shalom is telling us, to be inspired to live our lives based on Emunah B'tachon, despite the challenges that we face. And to believe that just like the one then, the ultimate goal is going to come soon, Bezer Hashem. And one of the things that he stresses throughout this piece as well is to know that this is also true and something we have to, that has to carry over into our individual lives as well. Not just to think about Emunah B'tachon in a global sense, what's going to happen to thousands of people. But when we face personal challenges and difficulties in our own lives, and who doesn't, to also have emunah and betachon that Hashem will help me through this as well. I think I mentioned Friday night, I don't remember that. One of my sons showed me, there's a very nice sefer, which maybe after we finish whatever we need to do, Chovas HaVavas, we'll do the next sefer. There's a very nice sefer called Pella Yoetz. It's a Friday Sefer that's like an encyclopedia of Midos. It's an alphabetical order of concepts in Midos and spiritual growth. And I think it's my son showed me that in Sadi, you gotta say Alabet Nodal gets a letter Sadi, because Sadi, he focuses on the idea of Tipisal Yeshua. Right? That when a person comes at the Shemayim, is going to be asked. One of the questions we asked, a series of questions. One of them is tzipisa liyeshua. Tzipisa means, to mitzvah means to anticipate. Were you anticipating the redemption? Were you awaiting Mashiach? So at least that's the way it's simply understood. But the Paleoid says that tzipisa liyeshua, did you wait for the redemption or await the salvation, right? So between waiting and awaiting. Awaiting means eagerly awaiting. The salvation of Yeshua is not only true for Mashiach, but in your individual lives, when you face challenges in your life, were you mitzapel Yeshua? Did you wait for Hashem Yeshua? Did you expect Hashem to help you? Did you have a tachon that Hashem is going to help you through this? So it's, and I think that's something that's very much the Tzivah Shalom would agree with over here, because he stresses as well, that Emunah B'tachon exists globally, or nationally, as Klal Yisrael, as a nation, what is our destiny, but also a Yid, a Jew, has to know within himself that he has a personal relationship with Hashem, and no matter what, Hashem can be there for him as long as we place ourselves in the hands of a good Baruch Hu and we say, you know what, I can't do it without you. I can't do it without you, and I need you to hold my hand. You help me through this. Okay.